Welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Voss. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, and language, and share stories from our listeners. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll encourage you to dig deeper to learn about your Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll have thought-provoking conversations and share resources. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Szabó-Voss, and today I'm visiting with Laszlo, or Les, Gyosa. Laszlo has been researching his family tree for over 30 years and has a wide range of experience with the variety of tools that are available for research. He has been able to watch the changes in research as access of information has exploded since the internet. But we'll get to that in just a few minutes. So welcome, Laszlo.
Welcome. Thank you. I enjoy my genealogy research, and we've met a long time ago, and I think you caught on to that, I think, very, very early when we first met.
Yes. Yes. Your enthusiasm is engaging, for sure. Now, yes, like you mentioned, we've been acquainted for a number of years, and we finally met in person at an event in Louisiana that Mudyard Marketing co-hosted with the Hungarian Settlement Museum in Arpadhon. And by that time, I already knew that you had a lot of experience and that you loved genealogy and helping people make those genealogy connections. But really, ever since meeting you and thinking about, you know, the museum and how to get people together and make connections, I've been trying to figure out how to help you get a connection with other people that are searching for that help, because clearly you have the experience and knowledge and the willingness to help. And there's lots of people that don't understand even some simple things in genealogy like me. So, and I think as far as the Hungarian piece goes, you know, you understand the language, you understand, you know, that there are language barriers, that there's border changes that deal with Hungary. So even though you're not just limited to Hungarian things, but that, to me, that's really where I think it's super helpful, is that you have the big picture in mind.
Thank you for that was glowing.
Well, you're super fun to work with. So,
I love Hungarian settlement where we met. It really, really surprised me how proud they are of their Hungarian heritage.
Yes,
I mean, these people, most of them came out over 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And even today, I mean, they're singing Hungarian songs. Mm-hmm. They have their festival every year, except for last year. But, well, and I think one more year because of the storms that they've had. But they're proud of their heritage and, I mean, costumes, dances, music, food,
and the museum,
yes,
is awesome.
And the museum is also is an awesome collection of everything that you imagine of Hungarian. So, and you know, there's some great people there.
Yes, for sure.
I'm trying to think of his name now.
Alex.
Yeah, he got even a award from Hungary. Mm-hmm. In Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago. So,
Yep. They do good work down there. Yes, so it was fun to be at that event and finally get to meet you.
Yes, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about where you were born and your journey to the U.S.
Well, I was born in Hungary in 1944. And yes, I'm that old. And I was, like I said, I was born in August of 44. My parents escaped Hungary on Good Friday, March 30th, I believe it was, or 29th. I can't remember right now, but they escaped Hungary. And we were close on the border because both my parents worked for a chocolate company, a chocolate candy company, and they moved them to near the border of Austria. That was because of the company was going to move too. and they, mm-hmm. it's still in Hungary today. So,
oh well,
they stayed. But
what's
anyway,
the name of the? Wait, tell me the
Schumer,
name. Of the
Schumer. Schumer candies.
Is it Stumer?
Stumer. Yes, Stumer.
Wow. So they worked for Stumer. Ah,
that's where they met.
Okay.
And they got married.
Okay. I've been there. I've been to their factory.
You're kidding. It's a German candy company.
Yes, but it's been in Hungary for a long, long
time.
Yes,
it has. But anyway, so my parents escaped with me and my sister. And my sister was 2 years old. I was 7 months old. And from end of March, which was around the 30th, Good Friday, and they arrived at the refugee camp in Germany, mostly walking. Wow. There was a few places where they got on a train, but it was mostly walking. It took them till April 9th when they arrived just north of Passau, Germany. And offhand, I can't remember the name of the town, but the following year, we ended up in Passau. And it's on the Danube River just before it makes it split between three rivers right there. It kind of reminds you like Pittsburgh with all the, mm-hmm. the rivers. So anyway, we were in refugee camp for 6 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Before we finally got a sponsor. And even today, I think you have to have a sponsor if you're going through legal means of trying to come to the U.S. And the sponsor has to verify that you will not be a problem for the country, so they will take care of you. All right. So we were supposed to go to Richmond, Virginia, and it says on several documents that I found online, and also my ship manifest through EllisIsland.org, where you can look up a ship manifest, and it said we were supposed to go to Richmond, Virginia. But we never got there. I don't know why. I found these records before or after my parents passed away. And I'm going to stop for a second there. My father passed away in 83. So I really never really got any history from him. But I did get from my mother in 93. After I started my genealogy journey in 90. In 93, I sat her down and recorded her for 8 hours. I have it on VHS tape, mm-hmm. which is now converted to DVD.
Good idea.
So I have it on four discs on DVD. So it's there forever.
Yes. Awesome.
Now my mother, told stories, and they were after my, searching for all the genealogy stuff for my family, there were some mistakes in her explanations, but she was going from memory. So anyway, and also because after my father passed away, I was starting to lose my Hungarian ability to speak because I moved to Louisiana in 79 and I had, I didn't have anybody to talk to except, I knew about Atbaton, but that's about an hour and a half away from me. So I didn't get there quite often. But, and those people, we just talked English there too. Mm-hmm. But I always talked to my father in Hungarian. I never spoke to him in English. Now, my mother, I spoke in English. My father had a hard time grasping the English language, but even though he read the morning paper from cover to cover, but he couldn't speak well. So anyway, I was losing the Hungarian. So when I started the genealogy, I found relatives and with internet and Skype and all that. So I've been able to, relearn my Hungarian. Mm-hmm. So I write, speak, and read Hungarian.
Okay.
Now, as to coming here, September 51, we finally got to the U.S. in Ellis Island. And Ellis Island closed in 1954. So we arrived at Ellis Island, so 3 years before it closed. All of a sudden, we got on a train. I remember that. I was 7 years old at the time. I remember crossing the Atlantic for like 12 days. But we ended up in Dexter, Maine. And we are Catholics. And there's another story that I'll probably mention a little later. We are Catholics, and a Protestant church sponsored us. So we thought. And it was Dexter, Maine, which is almost in the center of Maine. Mm-hmm. And September till February, we stayed there. A farmer from the Protestant church opened up, basically it was a barn. And it wasn't a nice place. There were rodents around everywhere, outhouse, no running water. We took, bats in a metal tub, and you had to heat the water because you brought in the water from the pump, and then you had to heat it on a fire stove, and everybody used the same water to take a bath in.
sounds typical.
But we stayed there till February of 52, and in 52, friends from the refugee camp told us to come to Youngstown, Ohio, because Youngstown Sheet and Tube was hiring. And so we got on the train. I'm guessing my parents were paid while he was working on the farm, or the farmer. I don't know what they did in the winter at the farm, but I'm assuming he got paid because we had no money when we got here. But we got on the train and we moved to Youngstown, Ohio. My father got a job at Youngstown Sheet and Tube, and he didn't like that. So my father, back in those days, they called in Hungary, he was a bookkeeper. Uh-huh. Or basically an accountant or something like that. But anyway, he didn't like the steel mill in Youngstown. My uncle, who ended up in Buffalo, New York, said, well, Chevrolet Motors is hiring. Come on over here. So he went by himself, and then he came back for us in Youngstown, and we moved to Buffalo. And we lived there till I moved in 1979 to Louisiana. So that's my travels.
Okay. And I seem to remember that how many siblings did you end up having that were born in the refugee camp? Because you guys were there for 5 or 6 years,
well,
right?
My mother had a total of 11 9-month pregnancies. Wow. There was a Laszlo before me. He died on the evening of his birth. And 10 months later, I popped out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were 3 of us born in Hungary, but 2 of us were escaping Hungary in 45. In refugee camp, there were 4 kids were born. And I kind of joke about it. My parents had a lot of rhythm. That was their method of birth control, rhythm. And so they had 4 kids. And the first one that was born in refugee camp passed away at 6 months old.
Oh.
And then 3 of them were born after that. The first one was a brother, then a sister, and another brother. In 1950 was, he just had a heart valve surgery yesterday, but he was born in 1950. So we ended up with 7 of us coming to the U.S. Now, as I previously said, I found documents on a website, and it's like, I think I have like 20 documents. Mm-hmm. One of them, the document said we were denied going to Australia and Venezuela because we were too large of a family. And I always say, thank God we didn't get to Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I would have loved Australia, but Venezuela, no. And then I found another document where the Lafayette, Louisiana diocese was going to sponsor us. I don't know what happened, but they were going to sponsor us. And their office was in Rain, Louisiana. I don't know why, because it was the Lafayette diocese. But I guess that was the office for the Catholic charity organization that sponsored refugees. So okay. Anyway, we didn't get here. And lo and behold, here's why I'm living.
I was going to say, apparently you were meant to live in Louisiana.
I guess. And then I found records on that website. It's from Germany, and it's for the Holocaust people and displaced people. And there's all kinds of records, like I said. And I found like a resume for my father, an interview with my father. And it was all in English because the refugee camp that we were at was run by the British.
Okay.
And then was in Passau, which is West Germany. But it's close to East Germany and close to Czech Republic. It's that far east in Germany. So anyway, this website had lots of records. So
and this website, this was new information to you. Like, you've been doing research for 30 years.
Yes, but this website probably about 2 years ago.
Okay, so it's very cool to find this new information.
I mean, I'm finding new information. I mean, I found new information today. Mm-hmm. Today. And it's never been on there. And every day there's something gets put online. Mm-hmm. So if people hit a brick wall, never give up, because there's always new stuff. And there's like, which we'll be talking about, Family Search. It's the Mormon site. And they're putting new stuff on every day, even though you think they already have it on there. But when you get to that site, whenever you see a film, which is not available online, it looks like a roll of film. Mm-hmm. That means it's not online yet. So those will be coming online. Yes, yet. Now it's viewable if you can go to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And go to the library, which is, I want to go. I was going to go last year again. I was going to go to Hungary last year and to Utah. But because of COVID, I didn't go. But I want to go to see because it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I'm talking about the Mormon site, it is the Mormon site, their religion, is they have to connect with their past. So they say they're related to everybody. Okay? So that is why they started filming all over the world, church records, civil records. And in Hungary, they did it in the 50s, which is unbelievable because the Russians were there.
Right.
Why did they allow the Mormons to come in to do that? But they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm glad they did, because there's a lot. There's so much information on there.
So tell us when you started being interested in genealogy and what maybe got you interested in it.
Well, I was always proud of my Hungarian heritage. Growing up, we did. I was in a Hungarian dance group. We went to all the Hungarian functions. I went to grade school, Hungarian grade school, St. Elizabeth of Hungary in Buffalo. I went to first grade again, because I went to first grade in Germany. But when I got to Buffalo, I restarted, started in first grade, and I'm the old guy in my graduating class in high school.
Right.
I was past 18, where most kids were 17 or 18. I was almost 19 when I graduated. So anyway, I found an advertisement for a family tree program. And I've heard my parents talk about their parents, but not a whole lot of history. It's mm-hmm. just about their, just talking about their parents and my mother's father. And then we had my mother's mother. We brought her out mm-hmm. because she got stuck in Hungary, but her husband, who she never saw again, ended up in Paris, France. He was a general in the Hungarian army. So he had to escape. Otherwise, he would have been probably sent to Siberia and done away with. It's things like that just started getting me thinking about starting a family tree. And then when I saw that advertisement for Family Tree Maker, it's owned by a different company. Mm-hmm. But today, I'm still using it. It syncs whenever. That's where I make all my changes. I put new stuff in there, and then I sync it to Ancestry.com. So they have a deal with Ancestry where they sync it to it, and I'll never lose it. It's always on. So let's say my computer crashes, it's still on the Ancestry site.
Okay.
So it really helps.
It's good backup.
Yes, absolutely. Now I back up to I don't back up to just one external anymore. I lost mm-hmm. one time. I lost a lot of photos, but I only had one backup, and the backup crap is gone, and my computer crashed too. So
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, but now I do put them on too. So
okay,
and I basically just. Back up each time I back up on both of them. So I always have two backups.
Okay. Well, that's good advice.
But now pictures, yeah. I have it on cloud. So that's easy too. But mm-hmm. whereas back then there was no cloud.
Right. Right.
And like I said, I started before the internet. Internet started back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But well, for the public. But it started in the 60s, back in 1960s for the Army. The Army started using internet. But for public, it started late 80s. And I remember buying my first computer, which was, I think it was a Hewlett Packard, I can't remember what the name of it. But anyway, it was like $3,000. And the hard drive was 107 megabytes, which today won't even hold 10 pictures.
Yeah.
And you remember when you loaded up because you had a dial-up with CompuServe mm-hmm. or AOL or Prodigy. And when you loaded up a page on the internet, it was like watching paint dry. Because the screen just kept loading a little at a time. You had to wait forever. But that was dial-up plus the computer plus the hard drive and the RAM weren't what they are today.
Yeah, now, man, that's amazing.
Well, today your phone has more capabilities than the program they used to put the man on the moon.
Yeah, it's technology is amazing.
Yep.
It drives me crazy sometimes, but it is amazing.
But it sure helped in my quest anyway for genealogy.
For sure.
Today I have nearly 18,000 in my tree. Not all Hungarians, but some people only do direct descendants, okay? So the Joza people. But mm-hmm. I put in my wife's family, my nieces and nephews and their family. So I have everybody in there. So, like I said, I'm close to 18,000 people in the tree. Now, I have some people in there that don't really care for, like George Soros, I have in the tree. But not, thank God, not through marriage. I'm not blood, I'm through marriage on my mother's side. And I have Anderson Cooper, the Vanderbilts, married into my mother's side again. I have Archduke Ferdinand of in the tree, again, my mother's side. And I don't know why, nothing on the Joseph side like that.
Well, who knows why?
I don't know. But anyway, but I find, you know, and people think, you know, there's a brick wall and they give up. And I say never give up. Never give up, because there's always new information and that brick wall will start crumbling. Yes. And you'll be surprised what you're going to find. I mean, last year I found a second cousin, which in a roundabout way I would have never known about, because back in those days, priests and ministers, when they wrote names, they did it how they heard it, phonetically. And my last name in Hungarian was Jozsa. Now, today, people in Hungary say Jozsa, because I don't have a Z in it. But my father always pronounced it Jozsa. So anyway, my grandfather was one of nine kids also, on my father's side. And half the kids were written in on their birth records, J-O-Z-S-A. And my grandfather was J-O-S-A. Well, his 4 years older brother ended up in Budapest, and he went by with the Z. And in 23andMe DNA test, I matched up to his daughter, took the test, and matched up with me as being a cousin, a third cousin.
How fun.
Now, her dad was my second cousin, which, so when I, whenever 23andMe notified me, this was back in March of last year, which right at when COVID started. And we connected that very same night with her father. And we, I mean, I've added like 250 people into the tree.
Just since that time.
Just because of that. No, just because of him.
Okay.
So he had relatives, and I found relatives of that side, but their last name is Jozsa. Okay. And they ended up in Venezuela, but now in the 70s, they moved to the U.S., except for one of them who passed away there. But, and there's some Jozsas still, nieces and their nieces and nephews. There's still some in Venezuela. But anyway, it never ends. You will find records all the time. Like I said, I found new stuff today, a couple hours ago, which will help in reading Catholic Church records, a website. So you'll always find something. And I found relatives everywhere. I've done four DNA tests.
Okay.
And I'll rate the tests, my opinion only. Number one is Ancestry. That's because they have the largest database, so they can go match up with other people that you are related to. And that's the only reason for Ancestry. Number two, I like 23andMe because they had a health side too. So besides having just an Ancestry DNA test done, they do a test on what you're susceptible to, like your, let's say, for breast cancer or whatever like that. But they always say, always check with your doctor. So they can't they have that, even though they say you have so many markers that you might have this, mm-hmm. but they always check with the doctor. Number two is MyHeritage. And MyHeritage is probably the second largest database, but it's mostly used in Europe. I don't know why. And it's not Ancestry that's being used in Europe, but the people in Hungary and Europe use MyHeritage for DNA tests.
Okay.
And the fourth one is my Family Finder, Family Tree DNA. And it's an expensive one, but okay. I don't find it as useful as the other three. But I've done five, but one of them merged with Ancestry. But that was way back when it was called Sorensen. And they're still a genetic company, but they're not doing DNA tests or genealogy, whereas okay. they did back then. So we've covered the genealogy, how I got into it.
But well, how about if we talk about where people should start? You know, like, so you can only start with what you know. And then kind yes. of branch out from there, all you right. know. So,
first of all, have a pencil and paper. Mm-hmm. Start writing all that you know. Once you have all the data that you know of, I recommend you start with Ancestry or MyHeritage. I use Ancestry again because my family tree program syncs with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, MyHeritage also gives you hints, but so, and Ancestry does also. Okay. So when I open my Family Tree Maker, I see a leaf there. Or when I open Ancestry on the website to my tree, I see the shaking leaf. They call it the shaking leaf. And that means there's a hint.
Mm-hmm.
And they want me to go in there and approve if it's a match. So I've added many, many, many records that Ancestry gave me and Heritage. And I have relatives in Hungary that are on MyHeritage. So I have added people on my mother's mother's side through those two people that had trees on MyHeritage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really bitten by the, you know, the genealogy bug. So I've got Ancestry, MyHeritage. I've got the four DNA tests. I have memberships to newspaper articles in Hungary. I have membership to another genealogy, two genealogy sites in Hungary. Mm-hmm. I'm the boss now today, so I'm easier in spending the money. Because whereas before I had to ask my wife, can I do this? Can I do that? But there's so much information out there with the internet. It's mm-hmm. unbelievable.
So how would you say the resources have changed throughout the years?
Well, so when I started out with just a Family Tree Maker, and then in the 90s is when I really got into the genealogy part, searching for records. And in those days, I mentioned the Mormon Church. Back in those days, you had to go to the Mormon Church, and like Lafayette has a Mormon Church, and what they had what called Family History Library. It was two rooms. One was where they kept files, and the other room is where they had the viewers to go sit down and load the film into the viewer mm-hmm. and look at it. And then
Crank it,
and then when you wanted to make a copy, you had to take the film out and take it to the other room and make a copy from a copy machine. So I've got hundreds of pages of just copy machine papers when I was over there. So in my first, I knew my father's grandfather's birthday, April 23rd, 1830. So I went to the Mormon church and I had to figure out what film I needed to get. And I knew the town, but they filed it according to counties. So I had to figure out the county that town was in and then go to the county and then look up the town. And then I found a film number. So like earlier I said, we were Catholics. So I ordered a Catholic film, record film. And I, 3 weeks later, after it was like $3 just to order the film, and they sent it from Salt Lake City to Lafayette. And they call me and says, okay, it's here. So come in on whenever their hours. Their hours used to be like a Tuesday and Thursday night and a Saturday morning. So I went in, rolled the film to April 30th, 1830. And lo and behold, my great-grandfather's not there. So the guy who worked in there was a Mormon, and he, he's helpful. He says, well, were there any other church records for that town? I says, yeah, well, there's a Lutheran church. He says, well, order that one. So I ordered it, came in, and I found it. We were Lutheran at the time. But we didn't become Catholics until my grandfather married a Catholic woman. And he gave the priest and said, okay, all the kids will be raised as Catholics. And that's noted on each of the kids they had. My grandfather had five of them and said they will be raised as Catholics. So that's when we became a Catholic. So when I found that, that record, so I just rolled the film forward and backward. I found all the Joseph relatives. And then after making copies of all the pages, I took the mother, because they had different last names. So I started that family. Mm-hmm. So that's how I added quite a few into the trade. With the technology today, all those records just about are online. Now, I think I mentioned a little bit on earlier in Family Search, when you see a magnifying glass next to a camera, it means that record, that film, doesn't mean all of it, but some of it might be indexed. And indexing is so you can search just by plugging into searching a name. And it'll find that record. Because some volunteers, I volunteer for Family Search, and I also volunteer at Machad, which is a Hungarian site. And I do indexing. And they give you a template, and you fill in the first name, last name, religion, date of birth or date of marriage, or bride and groom, death records, and stuff like that. So you actually have to type it into a template when you're done with whatever they give you to index, and you submit it. And then they give you another one, and you submit it. And that's how records get indexed, so it makes easier to go find it.
Yeah.
Now, if they're not indexed, today I would say 90% of birth records are indexed. Marriage records, very low number are indexed. And death records, probably a little less than half are indexed. But whenever there's on the Family Search site, the Mormon Church site, like I said, if there's a magnifying glass, It means it's searchable by name. Okay. If there's just a camera, it's searchable, and you have to, like back in the old days, I took the film and looked at each picture, okay? Whereas I don't have to crank the film. I just click on the arrow and goes to the next page. Okay. So that's how to find. And I mean, Sunday I was getting ready to, because I was looking for my grandfather's sister's son, who was a priest, and I knew he died in 76 in Budapest, but I could not find the film for it because I didn't, in Budapest, you had to know the district, and in Hungarian it's Kederlet. So you had to know it. So Sunday I was looking through for 1976 for 24 districts. So I found him in the number 13.
Oh.
Okay.
Halfway.
But I knew he was in 1976.
So that was a big help.
That was a help because I found a newspaper article that gave his death date. He was in the diocese, doctor of something or another, but he was a priest.
Okay.
And his last name was Molnar. But I was getting ready to, I even started typing an email to a researcher in Hungary to see if he can find it for me because he finds things for me too. So, but I found it.
Well, good.
But that was Sunday.
Yeah.
So like I said, don't ever give up because you're going to find stuff. And even the stuff that I found, let's say when I started, I didn't see it at the time.
Right.
And there were notes on there. And I was a newbie back then. So I didn't take all the information from the original record. But when I see it online and I can zoom in, I can read it better. So it always gets, you know, it's been getting better and better because everything's online.
Yeah. Well, and you make a good point that, originally, when you looked, you didn't know enough to take all the notes or all that kind of stuff. Yes. And so even revisiting records, even though you know it's there, even going back to it again is not a bad idea.
Yeah. So. But today I help people. I had people that helped me back then. So I wasn't at one time. You start out as a newbie.
Well, and that's part of why, doing the genealogy sessions has been good. We've had classes for things and we'll come up with some new classes for this fall too, that just to help people get connected with genealogy things. Yeah. And you teach those. And we have the Madhyar Living Genealogy group on Facebook that people can join. They just need to receive the e-newsletter that goes with genealogy and they can be a part of that group and ask you questions.
We have quite a few members on that site now, don't we?
Yeah. And it's, it's fun, while there are some groups that are bigger, of course, but you could also get lost pretty easily in a big group.
Yes.
And so it's nice to have a small group where people can make a connection and most of the people some of the people are also a part of the genealogy sessions and some people just like to chime in and help. And so I think it works out well. So
yes, it does.
So, so there are a lot of membership options out there. What would you say is a good first step for a membership for the complete new person who's just getting their feet wet?
Complete new person, I would say Ancestry or MyHeritage.
Okay.
To find records. Now, those are memberships.
Mm-hmm.
But to start with, especially if your relatives came late 1800s to 1950s, 54, Ellis Island, you'll find their manifest. And if you can read the chicken scratch on those manifests, it may tell you the name of the town if you didn't know where they're from in Hungary. But a lot of people just say Austria-Hungary back in those days.
Right, right.
So you still have to figure it out. You may need to find, let's say, naturalization papers. And those are, if they're not available on Ancestry, you may have to go to the clerk of court wherever they settled, you know, the county clerk of court. Mm-hmm. There should be files, or the federal courthouse, which most naturalizations are. But generally people, when they get their citizenship papers, they file it in the clerk of court in the county also. So you probably have it in two different places. And those, because you, a year before you get a citizen, you do your citizenship, it's called a petition to become a citizen. So look at those, and they may have the town they were born in, the date they were born in, if you don't know. And especially if it's like grandparents, but you'll know your parents' names and when they were born. But they might have been born here, but you want to go research in Hungarian records.
Right.
So you need to find birthdays. So that's why I suggest as much information, write it down, and then start a free trial for Ancestry. And MyHeritage does it too. They have free trials. So you don't want to waste that free trial period, you know, just going helter-skelter trying to find things. You have to make a plan before you do it and get as much information as you know, and then start searching with that on Ancestry or MyHeritage. As I've always said, never pay full price. I do go on online to see what the full price is. And right now, because we need Hungarian records, I always tell people don't go with the first option of membership, because that's only for U.S. records. So it's called the World option. Mm-hmm. And it's generally $149 full price for 6 months. And like I said, I never pay full price. My last time, when my expiration date came up, and I always call. I don't do it on, because you can't bicker online.
Right.
Okay? So you call the 800 number, and you tell them, if you don't have a special, I'll just put my membership on hold. You don't lose anything. Okay?
Okay.
The website is still there, but you can't add anything to it, okay? And you, the shaking leaves, so you, their hints still show up there, but you can't click on them because you don't have a membership, okay? So you're not going to lose anything. But I've had several times where I had to put it on hold, and guess what? Following week say, please come back. Please come back for this special price.
We have a special price for you.
Yeah, yeah. But generally, they always put you on hold. Let me see if I can find it, if there's a special. This last one, I says, if you can't get it to me for $99, which I always pay $99. And now sometimes, like, we just had a 3-day period for the World edition was $74. But they wouldn't allow me to extend my membership for another 6 months at the $74. They said I would have to quit the one I have, which I had like 4 months left on it. And, you know, I said, nah, I'm not going to do that for $25. It's too much a hassle. So anyway, it was $74 instead of $99. The guy says, okay, well, let me see if I can find anything. He comes back. He says, I didn't find $99, but I found one, a special for $105. I said, sold. So I signed up for $104. I'm sorry. It was $5 more. But anyway, I never pay full price. And same way with MyHeritage. Those two are the ones that you need to start with.
Okay.
Now, the other ones, there's like computer programs, like for trying to find out a Hungarian Village Finder. It's a gazetteer program where it tells you where the town is located, what county, because you need to know the county first when you go to Family Search. And it tells you if the town had a certain church, if let's say you're in my records, there were two churches in the town. So it tells me there's a Lutheran church and a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking for a Greek Catholic, you can look on it and see it will tell you what town, the closest town for if they were Greek Catholic, where they would have gone to.
Oh, right. Okay. If it's not in the town, what's the closest town?
It would tell you where those people might have gone to this town if they were Greek Catholic.
Okay.
And then there's also Reformed, which is the Protestant church. Mm-hmm. It tells you. But it's around $55 for the program, and I bought it like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So there's updates to it, and it's a great info. It tells you where it's located today, because, you know, Austria-Hungary was a large country back before 1920. And matter of fact, you know, the anniversary was just the other day when mm-hmm. Hungary lost 2/3 of their land and 2/3 of their population. Yep. It was June 4th, 1920.
And it also makes genealogy extraordinarily difficult.
Yes.
The research. Because you're in different
Ukraine countries. And Romania don't cooperate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Slovakian records you will find. Czech records you will find. Some Serbian records you will find. But the Romania and Ukraine, for some reason, they don't want to cooperate. And they don't cooperate with Family Search either.
They're not nice to Hungarians that are living in those countries either. Well, so they're just
Let me tell you a story about that. So I have a friend here locally. He's a doctor. And he's actually from Slovakia, but they're Hungarian. Uh-huh. And his parents were visiting here. He's a doctor at Lepe General over here. He's not a radiologist. It does testing on cells and see if you have cancer or whatever. Not radiologist. What do they call it? But they do testing on, you know, they take a sample of like your cancer cell.
Like a pathologist?
Pathologist. There we go. You got it. So he's a pathologist. And his parents came when I first met him about 8-9 years ago now. And they came over here, and I'm showing my picture of my flagpole. I have a 30-foot flagpole, mm-hmm. and I have a Hungarian and a U.S. flag on it. And I showed it to him, and the father says, "Oh, my God, if I would have done that in Slovakia, I'd be in jail." Because they can't even talk Hungarian on the street. Yeah. They can talk Hungarian inside their house, but they can't talk on the street.
Yeah, and they get fined if they sing the Hungarian national anthem.
Yeah.
They'll get fined for it. So it's very interesting, but.
Yeah. But all those, I mean, when you lose 2/3 of your population, and mm-hmm. most of them were Hungarians, so they were without a country mm-hmm. when that happened. So it's not a good time for Hungary.
No, and I think that it's been difficult on those families to try to maintain the traditions because they've been outside of their, you know, support network. If they're getting harassed for trying to maintain the traditions and the language and those kinds of things, it's not very easy for them, for sure.
So going back to we're doing the ancestry of MyHeritage, and we did the Village Finder, then you can. I'm into all kinds of things.
All of it.
There's Janos Bogardi has a genealogy site where I found my uncles through that site back in 2008. And my first cousin, okay, posted a message on the board over there, and I found it, and we connect. Mm-hmm. And now I talk to them. I have Judy and Agnes and a brother who doesn't care about genealogy, but I've never talked to him. But and then I found all my father's brothers. There were five of them. There were five boys. No girls in the family at all, but five boys. And I found all four. I knew the one in Buffalo ended up in Buffalo. One ended up in Australia. Those I knew about. But Kalman, Adner, and that's it. So Kalman and Adner, I couldn't find. And Kalman is the one that the first cousin posted a message, and I found them through that. Then by talking to them, my cousin in Australia said, I heard Adner went to South Africa. Well, my cousin in Hungary, Agnes, said, I heard he went to South America. So I get online and I'm searching both places, nothing. And I remember my cousin in Australia said, my father told me that he was real, got real mad at my uncle Adner, that because he wanted permission to use the nobility name. Our nobility name was San Martin de Yojo. Okay. And I remember we had letters to my father from Adner, and it was from Germany. So I'm looking in Germany, and I was looking for Joseph. And I said, couldn't find anything. So I plugged in into the German phone book, said Martin de Yojo. And I found a lady. She's since passed away, but he was already passed away when I found her. There was a phone number for her. I found her. And I used Skype, where you were able to call, a phone number back in those days and out today too. I called her, and with my poor German and her poor English, we figured out we were exactly what my uncle and... So I connected with Agnes, who spoke German, and then we connect that way. So,
Wow. So
I found that side, and my uncle was married four times.
So
he left while he was married in 1932 in Hungary, left, divorced or whatever, married another woman, and she ended up going with him to Germany, and he split from her in Germany, and then he went to some woman in the Netherlands and then moved back to Germany and married a German lady. But anyway, and
he was a busy guy.
The second wife, a granddaughter, found me through Facebook in Germany.
It's interesting.
They still live in Germany.
Different generations. Like it's not everybody in every generation that loves genealogy. It seems to skip different generations, and sometimes you get somebody that's...
My siblings, basically, nobody cares. They don't care.
Yeah. Well, you're doing all the work, so they don't have to care.
But they always call me, do you know this?
And that. They want to know. They do care.
Now, I made a deal with my daughter, my youngest daughter, and said she will take it over after I pass. And it will always be on Ancestry. Okay? And I will always have the program. So she'll take care of it. She probably won't add anything to it unless she gets interested, but at least she has the records.
Right. And I think that's important. Just having the records.
Because I can't even guess how many hours I put in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing over 10,000 hours. And that's probably on the low side.
Yeah, it's a big job. So, well, thank you for chatting with me today and giving us a peek at what you do and some resources, and I hope our listeners are encouraged to either start or continue their genealogy research. Every time we talk, I get more inspired to get back into it. And
now you just signed up again, so
I got to utilize
the 6 months.
For sure, now, for sure.
Can I mention my email if people want to get a hold of me?
Sure.
On the podcast?
Yeah.
Very simple. LESJOSA@gmail.com.
And people can contact you if they have.
Josa. And I'm also on Facebook. You can look up there. I have Laszlo Les Josa on Facebook. And you can also go to the Magyar Living Facebook genealogy page.
Yes. You can sign up for the second week of the e-newsletter. That's what it'll ask you for your email for that. But then come into the group and.
Liz and I are admins, but I leave Liz to accept people because her requirement is they have to be on the newsletter.
Right. So I need to be able to enter that information before I let them in. But
right.
Yep. Yeah. So find a way to get connected, you know, for people. You know, we've got lots of options. And
can I tell you one more story?
Sure.
It is now the year anniversary, which I just talked to a lady and her husband, Thomas, in Australia. And they said it's the first anniversary. So a year ago, I was helping a lady who I still help with daily with her Hungarian side, but she also has a Irish side. And she matched up in DNA with a lady in Australia. And she says her husband is Hungarian and he would like to do, you know, genealogy, do a family tree. So we got connected on a Saturday, and which was 15 hours difference. It was their Sunday. So we started talking, and I was showing them how to search, use Family Search, and how to help. And this time, actually, he was trying to find his father, who he hasn't seen since he was 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
And he had a sister who was 2 years old at the time. So his father left Hungary after the 56th Revolution. He ended up in Italy, and I learned this after. What I'm going to tell you right now. I learned this after I found him.
Okay.
He ended up in Italy, and there he connected with the U.S. Army and said, if you join the U.S. Army, you'll become a citizen in 5 years. So he signed up. They put him on a ship, took him to New York City, and he gets off on the dock, and he's just standing around. He didn't know where to go. He didn't speak English, and some policemen came over to him and said, can I help you? So he showed him a piece of paper. So he motions for him to come to his office or kiosk or whatever he had at the dock. And he got on the phone, and he got picked up by the U.S. Army, and they took him to Jackson, South Carolina. So after Thomas was telling me about his father was born in 39, and gave me his first name and last name. And so the next day, Sunday, I started searching. So I found a person with the same, I'll say the first name. I don't want to say the last name, but Otto was his first name. Mm-hmm. And he knew he was born in 39, in March of 39. And I found a record in Jackson, South Carolina, where he applied for Social Security card. Then I found a same name. He was 81 years old, living in Tucson, Arizona. Then I do researching for my college and high school class reunions to find people. So I have a people search site. So I got on there. I found his emails, and I found a LinkedIn picture. Okay. So I got all this set up, and I emailed them in Australia, but that afternoon he was at work and the wife was working from home because there was COVID time. But he was a bus driver, but she was home, and I said, check your email. I connected on Facebook Messenger, and I said, check your email. And she opens it up and she goes, oh my God, that's Thomas. It looks like Thomas. And that's his father.
That's his
father. So I gave her emails for him, and the lady says, I'll send him an email and see what happens. Well, that same day, Otto says, I rarely check that email address, but for some reason I checked it that day. And at first I thought it was scam, mm-hmm. you know, spam or scam or whatever you want to call it. But he answered it. And that night they connected.
Oh, wow. After 50 years?
55 years.
55 years. That's amazing.
Both of them been looking for each other. I found them in 4 hours.
That's awesome.
That's a cool story.
What a blessing to the family.
Yeah. But Otto calls me every week.
Hmm.
And he keeps telling me, he says, I'm so happy that you, and I don't think they're going to do it this year, but next year they're going to, the ones from Australia are going to go to Tucson.
Okay.
But he's 82 now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But he's,
wow.
He goes fishing into the woods in Arizona
mm-hmm.
for days.
Oh, he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that story.
That's an awesome story.
It's a very awesome
but
story.
But that's genealogy.
Right. But and that's even, you know, that's even a current time, you know, gold find.
But see, like, I found a Social Security record
mm-hmm.
and connected that to Otto and Tucson.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, good. Well, thank you for visiting.
Yes, ma'am.
And I
enjoyed it.
Yes, I did too.
Even though I'm always, I can keep talking. I can keep talking for hours. So.
I know, we have to cut you off.
Yes.
But we'll talk again, because here's the deal. So if you have some genealogy questions that might benefit others and could be addressed on the podcast, send an email to podcast@HungarianLiving.com, and we will have Laszlo come back and answer some questions, because you've got lots of knowledge.
It's never ending. It's never ending.
And we've got this great platform. Let's do more genealogy chats. So we will definitely include links in the show notes to the resources that were mentioned in this podcast, and which will also include Laszlo's email address and the links to the Facebook group and that kind of stuff. And the show notes can be found at HungarianLiving.com. You'll be able to see, you'll be able to know, because it'll mention genealogy as in the title.
And of course, YouTube.
Yes. And you can listen to it on YouTube. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Laszlo Jósa, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Hungarian Living is a division of Magyar Marketing, the Hungarian store, where you can find meaningful gifts with Hungarian style. Check us out at MagyarMarketing.com. And special thanks to Stephen Cicek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Hungarian Living, please subscribe and share this podcast with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@HungarianLiving.com. We'll catch you next time.